Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. We're looking forward to journeying with you in this broadcast today. Let me remind you up front, if you want to participate in the dialogue and discussion, we welcome that. In fact, this program, Let's Face the Issues, is designed around you, our listener. It is our opinion that multitudes listening have issues that you would like to discuss. So let me remind you, you can always suggest an issue that you would like for us to talk about by simply going to your computer and going to info@conservative.edu. Make a suggestion of what you would like to hear us discussed on this, that we might be able to discuss on this broadcast, whether it be theological, doctrinal, biblical, social, political, whatever the issue. If it is within the confines of any of those areas, it is a biblical issue. When we face issues, ladies and gentlemen, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's in John 8, 31 and 32. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, many people just misquote that, half-quote that, paraphrase that by saying, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." No, it will not. If you continue in my word, Jesus speaking of the word of God, if we continue in the scripture says then, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 17, 17, a declaratory statement about the word of God, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, we're thankful that you're on board with us today. We're looking forward to what you want to discuss in relationship to future broadcasts. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. I'd just like to hear from you as to what you would like to have discussed that you might participate and join in the discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about intolerance and anarchy. Intolerance and anarchy. Perhaps you would first of all say, how does that fit into the scripture? Well, first of all, God created the home, then he created government, and then he created the church. All three institutions are ordained of God. And therefore, when we look at what's happening in society today, we need to understand that it is part of the governmental system that we're in, and it's part of what we ought to be in the world, not of the world, but in the world, and we should be salt and light. And much of what's happening today, ladies and gentlemen, in our societal issues and the governmental issues is in direct proportion to Christians failing to be involved in the system in which we're living in. We need to pray for those that have authority over us, the scripture tell us, scriptures tell us in the Timothy text. We need to pray for the governmental authorities. And the scripture goes on to say that you might live a quiet and peaceable life. Indicative of the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to pray for the government. We need to be involved in the system that we're in the society today, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. So it's indicative of the fact that what we're facing today is as a direct result of sitting on the sideline and watching, wringing our hands, and not participating. Ladies and gentlemen, we hear the mantra today on the left of the LGBTQ, the BLM, and the Antifa, and the those that think that somehow, some way, that we ought to listen to them, and that the right thing to do, they're saying that the right thing for we on the right, i.e., the moral, ethical, Christian community, they're saying that what we ought to do is simply be tolerant, simply be tolerant. We need to simply, those that believe in moral, ethical, biblical truth, those of you that are saved, and ladies and gentlemen, I pray that multitudes of you that listen to this broadcast each day I pray that you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. I pray that you've been blood bought, Bible saved, born again, that you have, as you stated the scripture, that God gives you wisdom and insight from on high, that you might use that in your daily walk. But ladies and gentlemen, those on the left, those that are intolerant, those that are the anarchists of today, those that are neo-Nazi, Marxist, socialist of today, they're trying to basically direct and dictate how we ought to respond as the moral, ethical Christians on the right. Let's just look at for a moment. I find it fascinating. You can go to your dictionary, your thesaurus, or you can look up the word tolerant. And the word tolerant simply means showing a willingness to allow the existence of opinions or behaviors that one does not necessarily agree with. Let me read that again. We're talking about the word tolerance. The subject today is intolerance and anarchy. The word tolerance means showing a willingness to allow the existence of opinions or behaviors that one does not necessarily agree with, end quote. Someone said, we must be tolerant of others, and yet scream for tolerance, and that scream for tolerance generally is coming for those that are the most intolerant people on the face of the globe. They are intolerant. They're not tolerant with anyone that happens to disagree with their position. They're intolerant if we were to say we're against abortion. Those that are for abortion, those that are the leftists, as I call them, they are intolerant. In fact, I find it fascinating that there had been several cases that have gone to the Supreme Court dealing with whether or not Christians and moral, ethical people could stand on the sidewalk in front of an abortion clinic. In fact, in the state of California, they'd passed a law that if a Christian were to stand out with placards and signs and try to counsel with those going in to have an abortion, then they also had, those picketers, had the responsibility in the state of California to tell those that were going in the alternative of having an abortion. Well, that went to the Supreme Court. Believe it or not, the Supreme Court just ruled, just this morning, that that is not the case, that you do not, that the picketers, those that are demonstrating, that's the freedom of speech, the First Amendment, and it cannot be curtailed by saying that you've got to say something opposite of what you believe. So therefore, that goes to the point of what I'm talking about today with intolerance and anarchy. Those that are wanting to have their way or the highway, they simply believe that we ought to be tolerant. Now, I believe that we can. I've always said, it's your life. Live it the way you want to. If you're going to reject God, reject Christ, reject the church, reject the Bible, you want to live like a heathen, go to hell, that's fine. But don't then tell me that I've got to not only be tolerant of your position, but you're going to force me to embrace your position, to acquiesce, to accept your position, to acquiesce, to say that what you're doing is okay. Simply because the federal government says sodomite marriage is okay does not mean that I've got to embrace it. Just because the federal government, Supreme Court, says that murder by way of abortion is legal, that doesn't mean that I've got to embrace it. I might have to be tolerant of you doing that because I can't force you to change. But ladies and gentlemen, the LGBT group are not only not tolerant of the Christian, they're not tolerant of the Christian cake bakers, they're not tolerant of the Christian flower makers, they're not tolerant of the Christian videographers that do weddings. All of these groups, Christian groups, have been basically shown a total massive amount of intolerance and a massive amount of absolute demonic activity at their business, before their business, and through the courts. Well, the Supreme Court just issued a brand new ruling this morning. I don't know if you keep up with those things. I do. Today, the Supreme Court just ruled that the case of the Oregon flower maker, the Christian florist, case had gone to the Oregon Supreme Court. The Supreme Court had ruled that she was wrong and that she was rightly prosecuted. She's lost basically everything she's had. But now the U.S. Supreme Court just ruled that it's got to be remanded back to the state Supreme Court. And, quote, the state Supreme Court needs to analyze the case based on the recent ruling of the Supreme Court in the Jack Phillips case, the sweet cakes cake baker, that the Supreme Court said he had a right to say no on baking a cake for a sodomite wedding. So I am delighted with some of the recent Supreme Court rulings that's given a little relief. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to my argument very carefully. If you say that it is wrong for a cake baker or a florist or anyone in that field to say no to a sodomite wedding, to say no to, in fact, many of these states have said that if you operate a business, you can't reject anybody. But just this week, ladies and gentlemen, just over the weekend, a little restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, called the Little Red Hen Restaurant. Not little, it's just called the Red Hen Restaurant. I keep wanting to call it the Little Red Hen. It's called the Red Hen Restaurant, and it's in Lexington, Virginia. And they just chased the president's press secretary out of the restaurant when she was in there with her family over the weekend to simply have a quiet meal. Sarah Huckabee Sanders was chased out of the restaurant. The Red Hen owner says that she would throw Sarah Sanders out again if she had the opportunity. Here's an article that's frightening. We're talking about now intolerance and anarchy. Given the choice, Stephanie Wilkinson said she would kick White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders out of the restaurant again. Quote, absolutely yes. I would have done the same thing again. The owner of the Red Hen restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, told the Washington Post. The small town restaurant made national headlines Friday night when staffers served up a heaping help of intolerance alongside a dish of deep fried bigotry. That's a pretty candid way to put it. Sanders had been dining at the establishment with her family when she was ordered to leave the premises. Wilkerson, that is the owner, told the Washington Post that the, listen now, here's the crux of it, told the Washington Post that some of her LGBTQ employees were apparently triggered by the presence of Trump administration officials and suffered massive microaggression. Wilkerson said she gave the staff members the final decision on whether or not to kick the Sanders family out of the restaurant. They said, yes, we want to kick her out. Wilkerson told had been summoned to the restaurant by frightened staff members. They were frightened, ladies and gentlemen, because Sarah Huckabee Sanders was there. Unsure of how to handle the situation, they were frightened. When the owner arrived, she asked Sanders to step outside for a word. Quote, I explained that the restaurant has certain standards that I feel it has to uphold, such as honesty and compassion and cooperation, she told the newspaper. Ladies and gentlemen, she showed the opposite of cooperation and understanding and compassion. But yet, that is the way the leftist, I call them the anarchist in society today, the socialist, anarchist, Marxist group that's determined to overthrow the system in America. Further, this article says, Ms. Sanders handled the ill-tempered bigot with gentle grace. She offered to pay for the table's appetizer and then quietly left the restaurant. In fairness to Ms. Sanders, there were no signs on the restaurant door forbidding service to Republicans, to conservatives, or to Christians. Governor Mike Huckabee defended his daughter in a scathing tweet. Listen, he said, bigotry on the menu at Red Hen Restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, or you can ask for the hate plate as an appetizer, a small plate of small minds, end quote. It might be a good idea for the conservatives and Christians to be a bit more picky when they're choosing a poultry restaurant, Mike Huckabee said. I recommend Chick-fil-A. They serve everyone regardless of political party or sexual identity. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to my argument and my position. If there's the position that a Christian baker, a Christian restaurant, a Christian organization ought to serve anybody that walks in the door, then how is it that we have the bigotry and the animus and the hatred coming out of the Red Hen Restaurant in Lexington, Virginia? Ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough. That's just a part of the story. When Sarah Sanders and her husband left, the rest of her family members, they went on home for a quiet evening. The rest of her family members walked across the street into another restaurant to have a meal. Oh, no, it wasn't good enough for the owner of the Red Hen Restaurant and her sodomite lesbian waitresses. They rushed out of their restaurant, walked across the street, and stood in front of the other restaurant, chanting and calling Sarah Huckabee Sanders names and demanding that she not be served in the other restaurant. Now, if that's not bigotry and hate and anarchy and intolerance, nothing is. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues broadcast. We're talking about intolerance and anarchy today's broadcast. This little restaurant, the Red Hen Restaurant, is a perfect example of the left's bigotry. And yet there's a scream that we on the right, as moral ethical Christians, must be tolerant. That means not just allowing them to do what they want to do. We must embrace them and approve what they're doing. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're witnessing today is the groundswell for a coming civil war in America. Unless the socialists, the liberals, the Maxine Waters group, and the Obama shadow government, the deep state, unless they wake up and start considering the future of this constitutional republic, America. We are watching the anarchist in America today, the socialist, Marxist, anarchist. The anarchists now want to close ICE and the DHS. Have you watched that? In fact, ladies and gentlemen, they have started now going to the homes, the residents of the ICE workers and the Department of Homeland Security division called ICE. They're going to their homes. One of the ICE employees, which is simply a hardworking security apparatus that's used at the border and for enforcing our constitutional law. And they, on one occasion, just over the weekend, some of this anarchist movement went to one of the homes of one of the ICE workers and took the burned, charred carcass of an animal and put it on his front porch and were chanting out in his front yard. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of a time in my lifetime that I've seen it devolve to such a level of intolerance and anarchy as we're watching today. And then this wonderful, wonderful upstanding legislator by the name of Maxine Waters pushes the supporters to fight the White House. This is the article. Maxine Waters pushes supporters to fight Trump's White House, says the people will absolutely harass Trump staffers. Maxine Waters says the people will absolutely harass Trump staffers. Democratic Representative Maxine Waters on Saturday encouraged her supporters to fight back against the Trump administration amid the backlash over the White House's zero tolerance on immigration policy and said the people will absolutely harass all Trump staffers. Speaking on MSNBC, the California congresswoman said current administration officials who defend Trump know that they're doing wrong. And they soon won't be able to peaceably appear any place in public without being harassed. She further says they're not going to be able to go to a restaurant. They will not be able to stop at a gas station. They're not going to be able to shop at a department store. She said, this is Maxine Waters. She said the people are going to turn on them. They're going to protest. They're going to absolutely harass them, end quote. And then when she was challenged about that, even from mealy-mouthed liberal Chuck Schumer, in saying that she ought not to do that, then she wanted to have a press conference. It was quickly called, and she wanted to walk back through what she had said. And Chuck Schumer had said that that is not proper discourse for either side of the aisle, which he is correct. And she wanted to defend herself and said she's not asking for anyone to get hurt. Ladies and gentlemen, as a result of this kind of discourse, as a result of this kind of threat, as a result of this kind of anarchy, someone is going to get harmed, hurt, or killed as a result of it. We're in a dangerous position in America. She said that she had not called on anyone to be hurt, but what she's doing, she's simply advocating for those to go out and to prevent any of the Trump administration from being seen in the public. But yet we're told that we need to be tolerant, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the groundswell of what I call a civil war in America. Unless the socialists, the liberals, and the Maxine Waters group and the Obama deep state shadow government wake up and realize that they're in position to protect America, to protect our country. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, when it gets to the border issue, how can America handle 50,000 plus human beings rushing our border every 30 days? We need a wall. As President Trump says, a big old beautiful wall. We need a wall. We need a wall 25 or 30 feet high, unclimbable, unscalable, that they cannot go over the wall. And as President Trump says, a big old beautiful wall with doors that they have to come through the door. Ladies and gentlemen, we're a nation of laws. Our nation has a constitution. And some of the airheads that were interviewed by way of television out on the streets in California and other places where they've been picketing and demonstrating and trying to shut down ICE in front of the ICE headquarters in California. In fact, they were asked, why are you doing this? And they said it's because they're separating families. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that law went into effect under the Clinton administration. It was in effect under Clinton administration, under the Bush administration, and under the Obama administration, where you did not see anything on television of the so-called kids in cages under the Obama administration or the Bush administration or the Clinton administration. And it was taking place then. It's where they have to be separated. Ladies and gentlemen, if a person commits a crime today as an American citizen and you're caught, tried, convicted, and sent to prison, you are separated from your family. And so if you break the law coming across the border, you know it's illegal. You know that you run the risk of your family being in jeopardy. I am totally of the opinion that we ought not even let them cross the border to process them. You simply turn them back at the border. Now, you might say, well, that's harsh. No, 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 it's not harsh. In fact, the Pope says it's harsh, that it's sinful. Yet the Pope has an unscalable wall around the Holy See. The Pope says that for America, if we have a constitution that requires that we stop them at the border, that it's sin, that it's against God. And yet he's doing the same thing every day with his little white skirt on, running around with God talk. And yet he says that you don't have to believe in God to go to heaven, that the Bible is not accurate, that it must be rewritten to conform with society. And I could go on and on and on. He needs to just stop his conversation as far as I'm concerned. I'm not listening to a thing he's saying in relationship to that. And yet there's the mantra and the mindset by some of these folks that all of a sudden have gotten religion. You hear them interviewed on television, and they start trying to half-quote, pervert the scripture with what we do unto the least of these, my brethren. They don't even know what they're saying. And they're paraphrasing a half quote from Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. And I don't have time to go into that, but it's simply not what the scripture's saying. Maxine Waters pushes supporters to fight the Trump White House. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, another example of the shadow government intolerance was seen in the harassment and the threats against the Homeland Security Secretary. Here's an article that says, socialist activist who harassed Homeland Security Secretary works for the Department of Justice. I find this egregious, ladies and gentlemen. This article says, one of the activists who chased Homeland Security Christine Nielsen out of the Mexican restaurant Tuesday night, that was last Tuesday night, over the Trump administration's immigration policy is an employee of the Department of Justice. Let me just pause for a moment. I'm praying that Jeff Sessions comes out of his coma, comes out of his closet, and puts his big boy pants on, and does what he needs to do as the head of the Department of Justice. He's not doing his job. He needs to go ahead and resign so President Trump can reappoint someone that's going to do the job. That's just my little humble opinion. But the members of the, what this article further says, the members of the Washington, D.C. chapter of the Democratic, listen to this, the members of the Washington, D.C. chapter of the Democratic Socialist of America Party crashed Nielsen's meal with a demonstration full of chants and other outbursts. One of those participants, Allison Harbor, actually works for the Trump administration as a paralegal in the Department of Justice. Kristen Nielsen, you're a villain. I'm quoting now what this group of socialist anarchists say. You're a villain, locking up immigrant children. Activists can be heard saying in a video about that. Further, the article states, the Washington Examiner spoke with this person on Wednesday, and she defended her behavior as being off government time, off the clock, and her First Amendment right for being used. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the deep state sewer. She should be fired. This is the same as the FBI embeds in the that's against the Trump administration trying to overthrow a duly elected president of the United States. This article goes on to say, if you see these people in public, you should remind them that they shouldn't have peace. This demonstrator that's with the Democratic Socialist of America group or the party. We weren't the only ones who say can do this. Anyone who sees Krista Nielsen at dinner, anyone who sees anyone at work at DHS or ICE at dinner can confront them like this, and that we hope they will. This will inspire others to do the same. And may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Sessions is the chief. He is the attorney general. He needs to take a stand and clean house, or he needs to simply resign, one or the other. But ladies and gentlemen, the socialist activist who harassed the Homeland Security Secretary need to recognize and understand that if you don't like the way we do government in America, then there are plenty of socialist countries that you can go to, and they'd love to have you. But ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing this mindset of intolerance and anarchy on many of our colleges, the governmentally controlled colleges and universities' campuses. These socialist liberals scream that we should be silent and we should be tolerant. We should embrace their destruction and of our society and of our faith and of our families and the future of America, and we should just simply embrace them. They're calling it to be tolerant. They simply want us to embrace it. Every moral, ethical citizen, ladies and gentlemen, needs to speak up, stand up, be vocal, and be heard. I'm not talking about demonstrating in the streets. I'm talking about we need to speak to our legislators, speak to those at city council, and talk about what we need to see done in our city, in our state, and across our nation. Another example of the uncivil discourse in America was when our Florida Attorney General, Pam Bondi, was chased out of a theater. Pam Bondi confronted by protesters. Here's the article. Pam Bondi confronted by protesters outside Mr. Rogers' movie. She had gone to a movie. A group of protesters accosted Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi outside the screening of a new documentary of Mr. Rogers at the Tampa Theater on Friday night, questioning her about her recent actions on health care policy and her stance on immigration. A video of the confrontation taken by progressive activist Timothy Helbrin of Organized Florida shows several people shouting down Pam Bondi as she leaves the theater escorted by law enforcement. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an outbreak across America today, and I find it egregious. It is sad that we see a trickle-down even in our own city. In our own city, we have being introduced tonight by the president of the city council. The president of the city council is introducing, her name is Ana Lopez Broche, you might know her. She's introducing a bill Tuesday night, that's tonight, that will erect a monument to commemorate the African-Americans victims of the lynchings of Jacksonville in the 1800s. Ladies and gentlemen, you do that and you're going to have a holy war break out in our city. What's the problem with this woman? What's the problem? In fact, I suggest that you call your city councilman and demand that this bill not be introduced. Demand that Broche, Ana Broche, not introduce this bill. Stop it, circumvent it, prevent it, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be detrimental for our city. Let me just read you a brief article. City Council President Ana Broche will introduce Ordinance 2018-0420 this Tuesday, June 26, to claim and install a monument to commemorate the African-American victims of lynchings in Duval County between 1877 and 1950. It's to be installed in the Hemming Park to serve as a reminder of the dark chapter in the collective history of our city. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to do that, why don't we put a monument up in the city square recognizing all of those families that have been destroyed by adultery or by murder? Why don't we just erect a monument for all murderers and set it up as a monument to look at? We realize it was wicked and evil and animus and antithetical to anything that's called biblical in those days when it took place. But reviving that and at the same time wanting to take down the monuments in our city that recognize our rich heritage of our founding fathers of yesteryear. I am saddened by that, and I suggest that you call City Hall. Talk with your city councilman. Say, don't you dare try to destroy our city. Don't you dare try to instigate some type of civil disharmony in our city as a result of the instigation of this by Ana Broche as the president of our city council. She's the one that wanted to, back a little over 9 months ago, introduce legislation that would simply remove all of our monuments that gives the benchmark of the heritage in our city and in our county. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I think that it's time we as Christians speak up. moral, ethical people need to be heard. Our rich heritage ought not to be destroyed, but we ought not to bring in some aberrant heritage or aberrant monument that's going to memorialize that which was dishonest, that was ungodly, unholy, and unbiblical. What do we want to do that for? Ladies and gentlemen, please know that you're not being intolerant when you stand for honesty. You're not being intolerant when you stand for integrity. You're not intolerant when you stand for morals and ethics and values. But the Bible mandate for Christians is that we be salt and light. We need to seek the Lord, humble ourselves, and seek His face, turn from our wicked ways, and pray that God can heal our land. Our land needs healing today, ladies and gentlemen, and I pray that you will go before God and ask Him to give you wisdom as we face the issues each day. Looking forward to joining you again tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.